And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning, and it's May 5th, 2018, and we welcome you folks out there, and we've got, I believe we've got Tim on the line. Good evening, good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Jason. Beautiful morning.
It is, and we got, and I believe we've got John on here. Good morning, John.
Good morning, man.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Well, before we get started with the program, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. John, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord, and we thank you for this time that you set aside, Lord. We thank you for giving our pastor the insight for the need for a program like this, Lord, that calls for your remnant to come together and to discuss the things that are going on in the world and the way that they affect us as the followers of Jesus Christ. So we praise you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the provisions that you make to allow these broadcasts to go out. We ask for your continued blessings and protection to be upon those facilities, Lord, and bless all those that make it possible, Lord, your faithful remnant. Father, guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding. There's so many things going on in the world. There's so many things that the enemy is trying to do behind the scenes, and there's more of wag the dog going on than ever before. But Lord, you said that you would give your people eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, that you would grant us discernment. You say we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. We're asking for all of those things. Eyes to see, ears to hear, discernment. Father, we're asking for grace and mercy and compassion. Father, we ask that you would send your great helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us to have those same things for your people, grace and mercy and compassion. Father, help us to fulfill the Great Commission. Give us those opportunities to run into those people that are lost, because there's so many that are lost, so many that cannot understand what's going on in the world, so many that are just living from day to day, barely surviving, and they've been enslaved in this Babylonian system, Father. Remove the scales from their eyes, unstop their ears. Bring them to repentance, Lord, that they would fall upon their face and that they would cry out and confess their sins and ask for forgiveness. And Father, bring them the truth about baptism for the remission of sins, that everything in their past can be washed away, that they can come up out of that watery grave, born again of the water and the Spirit, clothed with you, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which gives you the insight into the Word of God, and have their names entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's no other way to do that. So that's our goal, that's our desire, that's our position as a ministry, Father, is to fulfill the Great Commission. So to that end, show us what it is that's important to your people, Lord, that look to this ministry to help guide them through these waters of destruction that the enemy has set before us. We just praise you and we love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all these things, and we ask, Father, that we can be a light into this world, Father, that in so many ways is so dark right now, Father. We pray that you use us to be that spark that starts that fire, that starts that wildfire that goes across this land, Father. And we pray that you wake up your people, that you stimulate them, that you allow them to understand that we're living in perilous times, and to seek you first and foremost in their life, Father. We pray, we desire that for your people. We pray that they turn from their wicked ways, that they seek your face, and that you do heal this land, as we know that you cannot lie, and we know that if your people do it, we know you will respond to it, Father. And we do pray for this land to be healed. And we just ask, Father, for all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there is a lot of things going on. Father. Go ahead, Tim.
I just wanted to add, Lord, that we we bring our prayers and petitions before you, O Lord, not to be anxious about anything, but through prayer and petition and thanksgiving to present our requests to God. And Lord, we do that. Lord, we claim that peace which transcends all understanding and guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would shelter and protect your people and guard their hearts and their minds and continue the awakening and turn them to their God, Lord, that the renewal might be complete and it might sweep the world. We just thank you for your promises and your power. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we'll go ahead and go down to you, John. Where would you like to start this morning?
Well, I think you two gentlemen are pretty well versed in one of the things that's going on in the country right now that affects us all, and that's the big push for gun control. I was pretty encouraged yesterday to see the fact that Springfield Armory decided that it's severing its ties with Dick's Sporting Goods and Field and Stream stores. You know, it's about time that the manufacturers maybe start singling out some of these retailers too, as they come out and you know, pro gun control. One of the things that was pretty enlightening here was the fact that not only did they take a stand after the shooting in Florida, but now they've hired multiple lobbyists to lobby for gun control. Now, this is Dick's Sporting Goods and Springfield and Field and Stream that they're actually paying probably pretty well lobbyists to lobby for gun control. And I didn't really know the history of Springfield Armory, but you guys probably do. But anyways, it was created by George Washington in 1777 to help America in the Revolutionary War. And that's pretty significant. I remember maybe 20 years ago, I think the first 25 years ago, the first time I bought a 9mm handgun, I think Springfield Armory had a handgun at that time, and it was inexpensive. It was kind of looked at as not as high quality as a Smith & Wesson and some of that, and you guys can probably elaborate on all that a lot more. But I always thought that Springfield Armory was just a somewhat of a cheaper version of whatever the weapon that you of choice was, and I don't think that's the case. In fact, now I think Springfield Armory makes some pretty nice handguns.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, they do. Yeah, and they were suppliers, like you said, clear back from the beginning for one of the things that always astounds me is the citizen-soldier thing. I mean, you know, you go back to 1776, Washington was... he was a brigand, according to the powers that be at the time. I mean, they stood up to all the world powers of the time, that little ragtag band, and with God's help, they won. And Springfield Armory, like you said, was one of those groups that stepped forward, and, you know, the Brits at that time wanted gun control, too, and they said, well, we'll make them. You know, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll put ourselves on the line, and I think that's significant.
Yeah, there's probably a good newsletter article in that about the history of the Springfield Armory, especially if it was similar times, really, if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it was interesting this week because I was able to sit down with a gentleman that was actually from Germany, and we talked about the firearms issue, and he had come over here years ago, but just talking with him, he said, coming from Germany, he said, man, my outlook on firearms was so different, and it was always looked at as a privilege, and not a right, and we talked about it, and he said that both him and his wife were from Germany. They've been over here for 20 plus years. And they've started doing some research, and they've been, reading the Second Amendment. They've been looking at the history of, not just here, but of different parts of the world. And He said, anybody that wants to give up their firearms, he said, is foolish, you know. And he said, I've never exercised that right of mine, but he says, I'm going to now. And since coming over here, he's become a U.S. citizen. And he's like, you know, the reason that I need to do this is because this is my country, and I might have to defend my country. And, you know, it was really interesting. You know, you're talking with somebody that still has a very strong German accent. And their terminology is very different than some of the words that we would use. But he understood how important this was and how every place in history that they have ever disarmed a people, then there's been mass genocide after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I thought it was really significant in Trump's, you know, he spoke at the NRA convention yesterday, and this ties in nice, but one of the things I really appreciated about what he said was in his speech, he basically affirmed and remarked on the fact that all our natural rights originate in God, and that our sacred rights are given to us by God, and that the right to own firearms, to defend yourself, the Second Amendment, you know, is from God. And I just was like, you haven't heard that out of the president's mouth.
That's a significant thing. He said, there are rights that are given to us by God, not by government, and the Second Amendment is one of them.
Amen. So, I just thought that was...
Yeah, we also have to be careful that it says shall not be infringed upon, period. And the fact that, you know, they were saying in here, too, about Dick's Sporting Goods' decision to remove and destroy, all modern sporting rifles. And then, in addition, they have denied Second Amendment rights to Americans under the age of 21. We at Springfield Armory believe that all law-abiding American citizens of adult age are guaranteed this sacred right under our Constitution. The hiring of multiple lobbyists to focus exclusively on gun control followed announcements by Dick's that it would not only stop selling modern sporting rifles, but that it would also seek to destroy its existing inventory. Well, they also say in this article that they've called several of the Field and Stream stores, and I'm not sure if it was the Dick's Sporting Goods stores too, but and checked on like a Ruger Mini 14 and a couple of the other sporting rifles, and they're available, and they even offered to order them for them. So, you know, a lot of times these companies, they put out these statements, and it's just to try to appease the left.
Yeah.
Be all things to all men.
Exactly.
Well, and I think that the right aspect of how to handle those things is just like that. You cut the purse strings. Those people, they don't want to. We don't have to do business there. And if you vote with your feet and your wallet with those companies, it's like they don't want. They want to be spineless. They don't want to have a backbone or anything else. I don't know whether Dick's stores and Field and Stream stores are, you know, if it's a privately owned franchise or if it's a, you know, if it's a corporate all owned or what. But there's ways to what do you want to call it, cull out those retailers that, you know, want to be spineless and don't want to stand for God, country, and family. You know, and that's basically what this is. It's a slap in the face when they do things like that for that. And I'm always astounded that you're talking about 3% or 4% of the population that is, you know, anti-gun, transgender, this and that, that holds those views, and how these little groups, these retailers like this, are so totally swayed by... They don't shop there anyways, basically is what I'm saying. You know, so it definitely has to be, what, a deeper link or a deeper, I think it's part of the tear's head sticking up. You know, they're showing their true colors, and it's like, well, I don't want to do business with you if you're going to be that way.
Well, and they, and like we saw that on a local level a couple several years ago. We got a local sporting goods store, and I guess it's not local because they got them in Iowa and throughout Colorado. It's called Jack Sporting Goods. And about 6 years ago, when they were having, you know, issues and they were trying to push this assault rifle stuff, the owner came out and said, well, he's like, you're never going to find one in my store. He's like, after this point in time, he's like, we're not going to sell assault rifles anymore. And they took them off the shelf. Well, everybody that, you know, they had a very good, loyal customer base that did business with them, even though their prices were not the best prices. They were a little bit overpriced, but they had a really good, knowledgeable staff. And everybody just said, no, okay, well, we'll go somewhere else. And they quit going to them. And they couldn't sell a gun to save their life. They couldn't sell a gun on anything because nobody wanted to do business with them after that. I mean, they shut it down. And boy, it took them about 2 years, and they backpedaled on that pretty quick after that, because there was basically 2 years where they were not selling any firearms at all. They had them on the shelf, but it was because of their stance on, you know, saying that this is an assault weapon. And, you know, everybody that I knew that had the mentality of, no, this is a defense weapon, you know, we don't know what you're talking about, we're not going to use it to assault anybody, we're using it to defend ourselves, or, you know, for in pure enjoyment. And they ended up backpedaling on it, and they're selling them again now.
Amen. That's awesome. Well, we see a lot of that going on. As far as I know, another thing that I had heard was, I think it's Vista Group or whatever is selling Savage, and there was a lot of debate on that because they're talking about putting Savage up for sale, and there was a lot of debate on whether that was because they thought that, you know, the Second Amendment was going to be done away with, and this corporate entity that holds them believes that, you know, that they're going to lose that. But then they want to continue to make ammunition, and it's like, well, you see a lot of jockeying from these corporate money takers that lead you to wonder about that. It seems like it's a little different story when it's a person. You know, you're back to that make the stockholders money and no heart, no soul in a lot of those decisions, I think.
Yeah, I was just reading here about Dick's Sporting Goods, and it's a pretty good American story about an 18-year-old that borrowed $300 from his grandma and opened a storefront in New York, you know, and just built it into an empire, which it's probably been bought out by some major corporation or something. But here's the thing that I think the thought just occurred to me, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. Think of the banks now, remember? Now, the banks, let's say that one of those banks who's come against these businesses who carry guns, let's say Dick's Sporting Goods is up to their neck in debt, which they probably are, with one of those banks who says that they will not lend money or do business with any business or corporation that deals in firearms. And who knows if they didn't cut a deal? Well, all right. Well, we'll stop selling these, but can Mother May I continue to sell, you know, some of these other weapons at least for now, and you not call my note? So that could be the case if you think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very much could be.
But is God bringing us back to His principles? You know, that we're not to be buried in debt, and you know there's some real retailers out there, including the one that you mentioned here locally, that pretty sure you don't have much debt, if any debt.
Yeah. And you know, another thing is like, you know, they just keep pushing away at it. You know, here yesterday they're calling it the red flag bill. And Colorado red flag gun bill passes the Democratic-controlled House with almost no GOP support. And, you know, this is a bill that, I'll just read part of it here. It says, legislation that would allow Colorado judges to order the seizure of guns from people who are considered a significant risk to themselves or others passed out of the Democratic-controlled House on Friday night with almost no Republican support. House Bill 1436 cleared the chamber by 37-23 vote, with two Republicans voting A, but not before facing another round of GOP backlash. And, you know, the messed up thing about this is, you know, here's a bill that you don't even have to, you know, you don't even have to, you know, one of the other amendments that they're going after or part of the Constitution is, you know, a person's to be innocent until proven guilty. You know, this this is where they can take you, they can take your name. They don't even have to take you before a judge or a magistrate or anything like that. They can say, hey, this person is, we believe this person is a threat. And it gives them the right to confiscate your firearms, all of them, for up to 6 months. And you know, it and a person doesn't even have, they have no recourse. They can't defend themselves. They don't have to be. I mean, it just happens, and it can happen to anybody. And it's, you know, you talk about you know, communism. It's I mean, it's just horrible. You know, I mean, and there's so many questions that were not answered in this. I sent a bunch of emails to the representatives and everybody that was voting on it, and I said, hey, we need to vote against this. You know, we need to shut this down right now. I said, this is ridiculous. And I said, you know, if you see somebody's firearms and they have no way of defending themselves and they need something to defend themselves and they don't have it and something happens to them, who is liable? And you know, I never got a response, and I, you know, really didn't expect to, but I figured I'd throw the question out there, and, you know, they just don't care. You know, I mean, you know, that's what it really boils down to.
Well, and that's the problem with passive offense. I mean, you know, if you can, it's the same way with the, we've seen them do it to our veterans, you know, just because they're in a financial bind or something, if they're going through the VA and there's a financial hardship or they're having troubles handling their finances or anything, they're declared unfit. All guns are seized, all finances are seized, all of their property seized. These things are wrong. I mean, you know, just because they and it's the same way with this, you can declare someone crazy just by accusation or, you know, a risk or whatever word you want to hang on it for a descriptive phrase, and they can move in and grab everything. So I think you're, yeah, and a good point, too, especially on who's responsible if, I don't know, if they're murdered or raped or robbed, just, you know, left defenseless. I mean, yeah, good point.
Well, that's just one of the statistics. That's just part of the deal, you know?
Yep.
But,
well, yeah, did you guys...
Go ahead.
Did you see where that, according to the, I think it was a DOJ study or something, did you see that business about how many defensive handgun uses there were in the last year compared to attacks? I mean, and I don't have that in front of me.
We don't hear anything, yeah.
Yeah, there's hundreds of thousands of them. I mean, they buried it. That's why we don't hear about it. They didn't want it out there, you know. So, but hundreds of thousands of times where a firearm actually protected people, lots of people. And we don't, you know, they never want us to hear about that.
No, I did see that. Yeah, it was a huge number. Yeah, also, I just read an article this morning. It goes along the lines of what we're talking about, but let's see. In USA Today, op-ed entitled, "Ban assault weapons, buy them back, go after resistors." Representative Eric Swalwell, Democrat from California, imagine that, argued Thursday that prior proposals to ban assault weapons would leave millions of assault weapons in our communities for decades to come. Swalwell proposes that the government should offer up to $1,000 for every weapon covered by the new ban, estimating it would take $15 billion to buy back roughly 15 million weapons and criminally prosecute any who choose to defy the buyback by keeping their weapons. Now, this is a federal representative. This isn't state. or not. Right. Well, no, it is. Yeah, it's federal for the state of California. Yeah.
It's really stupid. I mean, it's like the whole thing is, it's just offensive to every single, you know, idea you could have on it. $15 billion. Oh, yeah.
It actually helps you buy better weapons because, you know, if you look at a lot of those gun buybacks, it's pretty funny. People find the shotgun that might have been laying in the mud for, you know, 50 years, and there's no way in hell it can ever fire, and they take it in, and they'll get $400, and they'll go buy something that's useful.
That's something that works. Yeah, good point. Good point. It's kind of like the junk car buyback, you know. Yeah, exactly. So, well, and I think that it's back to the terror's head sticking up again. I mean, you just look at that kind of stuff and go, "Oh, yeah, there you are." So,
right here. We talked about this, I think, last week or the week before as well, that California had a bill that was going through the House, and it's passed the House, and they expect it to pass the Senate, and you know that bat crap crazy Jerry Moonbeam Brown's going to sign it. But anyways, it's a bill banning biblical views on sexuality. So it's illegal in California, if this bill passes, to be able to try to counsel anyone who's has homosexual tendencies or transgender tendencies. And but if you look into the wording of that bill, it's been exposed that the other things that will be banned are any reading or educational materials that contradict their teachings on homosexuality or transgenderism, which includes the Bible. So, I mean, that's significant because typically, as California goes, so goes the world. So you look at things like that, and then you look at things that just make you say, or wake up at least, hopefully, the fact that the
Absolutely.
Boys, they're wanting to remove the name boy from the Boy Scouts. I don't know if you saw that.
Wow.
Yeah, we laugh, but now think about it. They're just saying that...
It's sad. It's very
it,
sad.
They want to open it up to the girls so that...
Well, that's what they say, that they want to open it up. And, you know, you listen to their arguments, and it's like, well, we have to have something for the girls to do. Well, they've had Girl Scouts just about as long as they've had Boy Scouts. Hello? And it wasn't about boys or girls. It was about bringing these transgenders in and trying to destroy the organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not only that, bring in illicit sex, bring in immorality. And,
yep.
And you know that right now it's just, okay, well, all we're doing is opening it up to the girls. And they want to change the name to Scouts BSA from Boy Scouts so that it's inclusive. But you know that the next thing is going to be, well, you know, neither the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts can really make it financially anymore, so we're just going to merge them both. You know, that's exactly what the plan is. And then, like you said, bring in the transgenders and everything else.
Wow. Yeah, I can remember back when Levi supported, you know, a lot of that back in the, you know, 25 years ago. I mean, they were, and I remember voting with my pocketbook. I quit wearing Levi's. I mean, it was like, okay, fine, you know, and that was all about the Boy Scouts. So,
and I think those things take an effect. I mean, if you look at the boycott of Target stores, you know, by Christians all across the country, I drive by one pretty much every day on the way to and from work, and those parking lots are pretty empty. They've definitely they've taken a hit on all that, and I think we take a stand against Dick's Sporting Goods and those stores that are, you know, promoting gun control, then they're going to feel it too in their wallet. And that's the only time that it really affects them is when they feel it in their wallet. Then again, though, you got a lot of these super wealthy liberals like George Soros and those that are, I think they've donated like 3/4 of their funds to these liberal organizations that help fund these things to offset the losses.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they're making up for the lack of people with this, with the might of money. And, yeah, you know, the Bible talks about the root of evil. And I think that makes it kind of apparent, doesn't it, as far as that goes? And that the banks trying to swing it, like you were bringing out, John. And then you've got people that are wicked people who have all this money, and they'll throw millions at it, and you know, they've aligned themselves against God. Not a good position to be in. I mean, we know who wins, so but evidently they don't.
Well, look at what else they're doing with this Boy Scout thing. I mean, the Eagle Scout is a coveted
yes,
merit badge, basically. I mean, and you have to have, I can't remember how many, I think it's 50 merit badges to be able to get to that. And those things used to be, and I don't know anymore, but they used to be when I was in it. And I regret not finishing, to be honest with you. I think I made it to Life, which was one before Eagle. But that rank of Eagle Scout is still recognized today as far as being a powerful attribute of the integrity
yeah,
of a young man. And now, by introducing the girls into this thing, they're going to, you know, these girls are going to be able to get these merit badges, and then they say right in here that they'll be able to strive to reach the coveted Eagle Scout award. So,
yeah, and the Eagle Scout badge wasn't exactly an easy one to get a hold of. I mean, I actually know several Eagle Scouts, and most of them worked steadily on it for years and years and years. I mean, a lot of the young men didn't really achieve that until they were either in their very late teens or even early 20s. You know, I mean, it was like getting right up there.
Yeah.
It wasn't just some foo-foo thing that you did, you know, and went through the motions. It required a lot of effort and a lot of planning and everything to get there. So
absolutely, your Eagle Project was a big thing, and it typically was to benefit your community. I mean, you know, back in the day, like when I was in Boy Scouts, our local town, it was a community, and people cared about each other, and people cared about trying to keep, you know, the parks nice and things like that. And we did a lot of Project SOAR kind of projects where you just walk through the trails and you pick up trash and things like that. But the Eagle Scout, yeah, it was it is a coveted thing. And like I said, I made it to Life, which was one before, and I think the only thing I had left to do was my Eagle Project. And that's a significant thing, and I'm pretty sure you have to have a sponsor on that. I can't remember all the details. But all I would say is, if you have a boy in the Boy Scouts right now, and they're close to that Eagle Scout, try to push them to get it done, because none of this stuff really takes effect until let's see, it gives a date in here sometime, but it's February, next February is when all of this stuff takes place. And even though now I guess there's been 3,000 girls nationwide that have been admitted into the Boy Scouts, the name doesn't change until February, and the new curriculum with the merit badges for the girls and all of that doesn't take place till February. It's just like the enemy attack. Anything that's wholesome and good, right?
Yeah,
it's exactly.
Good versus evil, period. Anything that's wholesome and good, and anything that promotes masculinity. Because I'll tell you what, I learned a lot of skills in the Boy Scouts, and those are survival skills, too, and don't think that they don't know that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it even attacks, you can't attack masculinity either without attacking femininity. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, when you try to make the girls boys or the boys girls or anywhere in between, you're attacking both of those stations in life, and God created both of those stations for a purpose and a reason. And there is, and they're both honorable positions, you know. I mean, they honor God and country and family and community, like you said. So, you know, whenever you, and that is what some people refer to it as a natural order. I refer to it as a godly order. There's a godly order there. And there is no one that's more valuable to God, I don't think, than the other, because he doesn't make junk. So it's one of those, you can't attack one without attacking the other. I mean.
Yeah. Amen. Do you guys see that? Looks like an largest earthquake in 43 years hit Hawaii, and one of the Kilauea volcanoes is spewing lava all over the streets, and a lot of emergency evacuations and things going on. I think that just happened yesterday. I didn't see much about it, but
yeah, like 1,500 people were 1,500 people were evacuated in one area, and they have currently like 14,000 people without power on one of the islands there. And yeah, I was thinking about that Fire on the Mountain song Jason opened with, and
yeah, it was
I was
perfect,
thinking about that. So it's like, wow, God's sending warnings. Yeah, there's big tracks of just lava running down. They've got roads cracked, and I mean, I seen a little bit on it. It was very interesting, and I did find those numbers on that defensive gun use in America. The CDC is who put that out, Center for Disease Control. I mean, but
yeah,
2.2 million defensive uses of guns in America a year that weren't illegal, that weren't improper, that weren't wrong. You know, so.
That's crime,
huge.
Or a rape or a murder.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or a home break-in or whatever. And
you won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're a racist, homophobe for pointing that out.
If you point, yeah, well, I'll wear it with pride. But
yeah, no kidding.
It's very interesting how they want to take that away. And those numbers, by the way, are from the 90s. I mean, that was the latest statistics they had. So I'm sure that those numbers probably, they may have actually gone down as gun ownership's gone up, because there's a lot of studies that show as gun ownership has gone up in this country, violent crime has decreased. So
we've got a caller on the line, I believe. Hello, caller.
Hey, guys, this is Zach from Michigan. How are you guys this morning?
Doing well. How are you doing this morning, Zach?
You know, it's a sunny morning. It's going to be 75 degrees out. I have no complaints. So, it's a good morning. It's a good morning. It was a long winter, I'll assure you that. So, one of the things I wanted to bring up, you know, with the gun control and all these things we see happening in the land today, John always talked about Satan have a legal right. We give Satan a legal right to operate in our lives on a personal level. And it's the same thing with the country. We're giving Satan a legal right to operate as a country to do these things. And as a country, if we do not repent as a country, then those guns will be taken away. The gun control issue is nothing more than a symptom. It is nothing more than a symptom. It is a symptom of people and of people not repenting as a country. And it is a symptom of people believing what is being preached at the churches. And what is being preached at the churches, we all know what's being preached at the churches. And because they are believing what is being preached at the churches, these men head of the household are not guarding their household, and they are giving Satan a legal right as a country as a whole to do this stuff to us. So gun control is only a symptom. It is a symptom of the actual problem. That's my view on the whole issue with gun control. Satan has a legal right to do it, and we are giving it to him.
Yeah, definitely. Without repentance, we receive our just punishment for sure.
I mean, that's what happened to Israel. That's what happened to Israel of old. So, those are my thoughts on it. That's all I wanted to say.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks for the call, Zach. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, I don't know. I'm all fired up. I'm excited about I'm excited about the times. Maybe a little bit nervous, but you know, just get out there and preach the word of God in any way that you can, and do it accurately, because you never know who's listening. And
amen.
I was listening to a guy, I believe it was last week. I've been listening to the radio all morning. And you guys had a caller in, and he was saying that he wished that there was a church that preached the Bible accurately in his area. Well, you know, that man, he has, I'm assuming he has accurate knowledge. I'm assuming that he's got some proper teaching. Well, as a Great Commission, well, maybe he should do something. Because faith without action is nothing. And, you know, the Bible says not for a lot of us to be teachers, but we all have to be promoting the Word of God. And if we don't go out there and do it ourselves in our own communities, then it's not going to be done, because our communities don't know about scriptures in America. There's only one way they're going to know, and that's either if they're told, if they're pointed towards scriptures in America, or they grab the bull by the horns themselves. And, you know, if you keep hammering and don't waver and know that God will honor the work that you do, then He's going to test you. God's going to test you in that. But in time, you will see a shift in mentality of who you're talking to. If they truly want to be in God's church, you will see a shift. Resistance isn't bad from somebody, but you will see a shift in the mentality. And I believe that the interest of diamond men, guys that know the Word of God, can truly make a difference in their community. And that's what I got to say. And just be motivated and don't lose heart.
Amen.
And we can flip this thing. We really can. And I was listening to Pastor Peters the other day, and he was talking about Jonah. And he was saying that...
he liked donuts.
What's that?
he did like them.
Yeah, but he did not like them. But the thing of it was, the men of Nineveh changed the will of God. They changed what God said. And because they heard the words of Noah, and they repented, and God didn't do what he said he was going to do because of that repentance. And you got to grab onto that, and you got to push it. And because we all know what the effects of sin is, it's death.
Yep.
It's death on a personal level, it's death on a family level, community, and nation. And you got to believe and act on what you believe to change what God's going to do. Because we can see that God's faithful in destroying us for not obeying His word. And I just want to encourage the brethren out there to get motivated and don't be scared. And don't lose heart. God will be with you if you do it. That's what else I want to say. Because people are starting to wake up to things aren't right. And the scriptures have failed them. And they know that they're a scam, but they don't know why. And it's our job to point out why the churches are a scam. And then it'll be like in Acts 17. We could be the ones that turn the world upside down.
Yep.
And, you know, they won't know it was us, but who cares? Who cares? As long as God gets his way. Because that's what we want.
Yep.
God to get his way. And
I can buy a scripture.
So pursue your life, repent of it, and go on. That's what I said.
Amen. Well, thanks, Zach.
Right.
Thanks, Zach.
You guys have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Tie a scripture into that, Romans 10:14, New American Standard Bible. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Well, preacher, minister, we're all supposed to be ministers and preachers. We're all supposed to fulfill the Great Commission. We're all supposed to spread the good news of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's where Zach's trying to lead there. And I know that Zach's done a lot in a local small church there in Michigan, and Brother Paul's joined him there several times. And that's what we all need to be doing. We all need to be, you know, we've been given such a gift of the truth of the Word of God for some of us for 25, 30 years, some more longer than that. And but it's not, it's just like putting the light under the bushel basket. We're not to put the bushel basket over the light of the Word of God that we've been given. We're to do all that we can to share that truth with the world, because it really has to start in the townships and in the small cities and things before it can change on a national level. We have to reach those people local to us with the truth, because they've believed a lie for so long now that, and if we don't put that effort in, all of us, you know, I think one of the things the Lord showed me here recently is remnant is a title, but it's a privilege. And there's, exactly, with great reward comes great responsibility. And you know what? Bottom line is you cannot call yourself a remnant if you're not a Jedi. And you cannot be a Christian if you're not a Jedi. And what is a Jedi? Jesus' disciple. If you don't want to be Jesus' disciple and go out and do the work of an evangelist, like the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season, you're not willing to put that time into it, you can't call yourself a remnant. That's it. Bottom line.
Absolutely. It requires effort.
Yeah, it does.
And
you know,
one of the
dad's coattails for too many years. You know, fortunately, there's been an awakening. Hasn't been huge, but there's been a fair number of people who, after dad was called home, who started to take their walk seriously and who started to try to evangelize and try to share the truth with those that are at least in their midst.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the thoughts that occurs to me is sometimes we lump ourselves in with the whole thing as far as we are part of the problem. And I think that an affirmation is always a good idea there. You know, there's an old saying about a promise making the heart stronger. And I think sometimes that we need to add that affirmation of, like, Joshua 24:15 that says, you know, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, I mean, it's like, be the change you want to see, to grab someone else's words. But, you know, it's one of those things, with God's strength, I'm not going to be part of that problem. And I'm sure we all can misstep or misspeak sometimes, but the point is that, you know, if you affirm that, if you I am it, you're going to land on your feet on the right path, because God's going to set it up that way for you, and you're going to continue to serve God, you know, and not serve those false gods and foreign gods, Satan's not going to be able to have his way there. I think there's going to be a fight, but we know who wins. So,
yeah, you look at this title here I just found this morning about the Episcopal Church eliminates the words husband, wife, and procreation from its marriage ceremonies. The goal is to make it more compliant, or to make the phrasing more compliant, or to make the ceremony more compliant. And then it says, and this sums it up pretty well, are they bending their knee to Lucifer, as have the Boy Scouts and all other organizations who are bowing down to the new Baals of the new Molochs of the day? A very big yes is the answer. They are pandering to the new gods of this age, the idols, the golden calves. More importantly, they are moving ancient boundary stones that God set up starting in Genesis 1:27 and finishing with the last amen in Revelation 22:21. The Episcopal Church are not alone in their they are not the only apostates. The Mormon support for gay marriage is gaining ground. And this says that the Christian Journal said that the Episcopal Church, TEC, is removing the terms husband and wife and procreation from its marriage service in favor of creating a more modern LGBT compliant service. The terms will be replaced with gender neutral pronouns such as two people or spouse.
Wow. And that's an attack on the family, which God set up.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Well, it goes back to there's nothing new under the sun, right? If you look back at the messages I brought several weeks ago, whatever it was, a few months ago, regarding there's nothing new under the sun in the times of Ahab and Jezebel and the times of ancient Israel, they know that in ancient Israel, because of their sin, because of their deviating from God's laws, commandments, and statutes, that God punished them. And the enemy knows that, and that's why they're doing all that they can to destroy the morality. And they've done a pretty good job.
They're not going to get it accomplished. God's going to thwart their plans, right?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen for that, too. But they sure want to try it. Really, and I think a lot of those churches who go against God like that, it's nothing more or less than just like these retail stores we were talking about earlier. They're just trying to sell something that's socially palatable to everyone out there. They want quantity, not quality.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, we are just about out of time.
You want to invite people to church, Jason?
Yes, I would. Folks, we'd like to have you to church, and you can come to church in the privacy of your own home if you have a shortwave radio, or you can join us on the Internet. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 8:30 Mountain Time and go to www.scriptures4america.org. You can watch the live video stream, or you can listen to the live audio stream right there on your computer, and we encourage you to join us. And I was going to tell people too, if you would like some more information, Pastor Peters did a 4-part series on gun control, and has a gun control booklet. It's called Biggest Swinger: Register Your Guns. And if you'd like that, why don't you contact the office and order that? It's just got a lot of really, really good information. And I'll tell you what, as I was listening to some of those messages, it really hit me. It's like they were written for today. And as we say, there's nothing new under the sun. These truths that were preached so long ago are so applicable to today and to the situation that we're seeing. So, if you want those, get a hold of us and order those. You can order them online by going to sfaw.org also. And I just wanted to throw that out there.
Great.
Yeah,
stuff.
There's several good books Dad wrote on the gun control.
Yes. Yes, there was. So get a hold of us and yeah, exactly. The preachers were afraid to tell you. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, gentlemen, thanks for being here this morning. Folks, we thank you for tuning in this morning.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Have a
enjoy it.
Good day.
I hear the Lord's coming. This age is gonna end. We will see the sunshine who takes away our sin. We're stuck in Satan's systems.